The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition. And Friday is day two of the Grand National Meeting at Aintree. Plenty of top-class racing to look forward to in Liverpool. There's also jumps racing from Sedgefield and flat racing from Leicester on Friday afternoon. And we'll finish the day with the usual Friday evening all-weather fair from Wolverhampton and Dundalk. Ross Brierley, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell will be your team in the studio. And they'll be live on Racing Radio from 1:40pm. So tune in for all of that. Right now, though, my name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action at Aintree is Mr. Stephen Powell. Hi, Stephen.
I'm very good, thank you, Mark. How are you?
Yes, very good, thank you.
Excellent.
Always enjoy the 3 days at Aintree. Obviously culminates in the Grand National, but a great 3 days anyway. I mean, people talk about the build-up to the Cheltenham Festival and the great racing we have there. Well, Aintree's pretty good on its own as well.
Pretty good on its own, yeah. Obviously doesn't really sort of focus in many people's calculations until after Cheltenham, with the exception of the National, of course. And one or two of the races aren't as strong as Cheltenham because some of the Irish Raiders decided to wait for Punchestown. But the racing's still very good, still very strong. We've got lots of festival winners on show. And it's always great to see races over the national course as well. You know, the Fox Hunters and the Topham in the days running up to it. And, well, yeah, all round good 3 days, Mark.
It is. It's exciting stuff as well when you see the horse going over those big fences on the national course.
It's the reason I got into racing, yeah. So the Grand National, so watching that when I was a kid. So it's always a special day.
It's the reason why most people start watching racing, isn't it?
They
have their annual bet in the National and then they decide they like it and carry on watching it. And
indeed.
For that reason, we must talk about the Grand National.
It's our shop window, as Darren Owen would say.
Yes, it is, yeah. The Grand National betting looks like this. T4-3 is still the market leader, 8-1 favourite for the Grand National. Monbeg Dude, 12-1. Long Run, 14s with Tidal Bay. 20-1 for Burton Port, 7-7. Pinot de Rey, Prance de Beauchen, Rocky Creek, The Package, Triolo de Len. It's in 25-1 for Balthazar King, Big Shoe, Colbert Station, Shakalaka Boom Boom. Alfie Sheeran is 33-1, and so are many others as well. Bigger prices, the rest.
Yeah, it's a tricky race, Mark. I mean, obviously, T4-3 has a fairly obvious chance now, but that's reflected in his price. Although I'm not overly convinced that he will still go off favourite. I know he's 4 points clear at the moment, but now AP's mount has been confirmed as 7-7. I would expect him to shorten in the next couple of days, a little bit out of sort as well. Maybe if Samueli Cohen has a winner at Aintree on Thursday in the Fox Hunters, in which he rides at Warn, then he may well shorten a little bit in price as well. Obviously riding Long Run, who technically, if you want to say, he's the class act of the race, him and Tidal Bay. I mean, for me, the best story, would be for Tidal Bay to win. Carrying top weight at the age of 13 would be verging on an unrivalled feat, really. Obviously, Red Run was 12 when he won it for the third time, but no 13-year-old's won since 1923. And it would be fantastic, especially because he's such an old rogue as well. And you know, people for years sort of stuck the knife into him, but it seems that as he's got older, he's sort of mellowed out a little bit, and it would be great, but I just think he's got such a difficult task. In the cold light of day, it's going to be really hard for him to do. Long Run, I think Long Run will run well, but I just think he might find one or two too good for him. I can see him sort of being there, turning for home and just keeping on at one pace. And obviously we mentioned T4-3. He'll be ridden slightly more conservatively than last year. He was prominent quite a long way out and didn't quite get home. He obviously stays 4 miles because he's won over 4 miles. But
do you get consent to the theory that he didn't stay last year?
Yes, I don't think he did stay last year, but I think not because he didn't have enough stamina, because of the way he was ridden.
Just because he was bowling.
Yeah, in the same way that Hedgehunter bowled along a long way out in 2004. Yeah. He was absolutely legless when he fell at the last then. And the following year, ridden a bit more conservatively by Ruby Walsh, absolutely bolted up. I mean, he's still on the bridle jumping the last, and Ruby said he was conscious of waiting to kick on him.
Yeah.
And he ended up, you know, drawing well clear in the end. So if he's ridden slightly more conservatively, then yes. I don't fancy Triolo de Len at all. Monbeg Dude, I didn't fancy him, but once they confirmed Paul Carberry, that slightly encouraged me a little. I think he'll definitely stay, Monbeg, dude. I have no concerns about that. But he's jumping. I mean, he did make one bad mistake at Doncaster, and he was a long way back that day in a race that sort of went from the front. And it's just whether you can afford to be so far back. I think it's all right early on. I mean, when Neptune Calonge won the National, he was having to be ridden away from the start, and he was sort of last, basically, when they crossed the Melling Road. But he was in mid-division second time round, and I think that's where you need to be. So Carberry doesn't want to overplay it. And I know it's not as difficult to jump round as it was, but if you maybe just belt one too many, because there's a lot of fences that come up very quickly, and when he's not been noted for being a great jumper, it would worry me a little bit. Although, in fairness, when Runners Encore clouted about three or four on the way round last year, and across the bay last year, he should have fallen about five times. Harry never, I'm amazed. I do think 77 is interesting.
As we've been speaking, 77 has shortened.
Well, there you go.
I said 20 to 1 at the start of this little preview, and now 14 to 1.
There you go.
McCoy factor is
exactly
confirmed.
People are backing him. So he's interesting, obviously, for a trainer that's won the race before, Martin Brazel, who went with number 6, Valverde. Whether 77's good enough is the question. He won.
He's got a good profile for the race, hasn't
he? He won a streak of races in the summer last year, and he needs decent ground, which he's going to get. Yeah. So they're all positives. He had a prep run the other week, blow away the cobwebs, which is fine. And he's got a lot going for him. He has got a lot going for him, and it'd be folly to rule him out. But at the same time, McCoy chose Colbert Station last year, and he's chosen a different one this time. And for all that, McCoy is a genius, as we know, he did choose wrong at Cheltenham on more than one occasion. And Colbert Station was running a great race last year until he unseated at the chair.
Yeah.
And he's got a good profile as well, trained by a man who's won the race before as well. So I wouldn't... Because he's not been chosen by AP, I think he might be overlooked slightly, but he's basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, Colbert still
Station.
25 to 1 at the moment.
Yeah, so I think that he's worthy of noting. But it's hard to find one that I go, do you know what, I really fancy that. Burnport was interesting. McCoy was far too aggressive on him last time out, but I think he did that for a reason, because obviously that wasn't the day at Newbury, because he'd had the wind operation and he was just trying to see how he went. It would concern me whether he'd stay Burnport, but I think he's good enough to win, providing that he does.
Yeah.
But after that, I mean, I could see him make a case for all 40 of them.
Yeah,
you know,
it's quite open.
Very open, ridiculously open.
Yeah,
you know, even old Swing Bill, who's scraped at number 40, he's got a good record over the course.
Yeah, 66 to 1.
Exactly. You know, just little horses like that that have got one or two bits that might just draw them into it. But to be honest, this is the first time I think ever I've gone into a National and not had a very solid view at all.
Yeah. I probably would have a solid view surrounding Tifa 3, but I just think 8 to 1 is too
short. Well, that's it, yeah. I mean, he's got. I was slightly disappointed in his running the Gold Cup.
Yeah, but that wasn't the day, was it?
But no, exactly. And I don't think Nick Schofield was hard on him.
No.
And rightly so.
Once he was beaten, it wasn't serious.
No, exactly. And that's fine. So, but at 8 to 1.
Yeah.
If he drifts a bit, if others are backed against him, if you maybe get 10 or 12 nearer the time or nearer the off, then it might draw me in a little bit. But I think he probably just is about the rightful favourite, 2 for 3. Cheltenham Festival winner, placed in the race before, you know, shown that he still has all his form this season. And he's the one to beat, really.
Yeah.
Especially when he's carrying less weight than last year which is even more of a pull.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a great race. I mean, the Rainbow Hunter was running well last year, but he went down at the 8th. But it was a good win for him at Doncaster. Again, a man who's trained the winner before, but 24 years ago now. But he ran really well at Donny in a good race where he stayed on strongly, which is obviously what you need really to win another one at a prize. But I'm sure I've mentioned 10 or 12 horses there, and I probably haven't mentioned the winner.
Okay.
So...
Should be great anyway.
It will be great. Oh, yeah. Like literally, I'll be beside myself, Mark, at about 4 o'clock. So, because I start off all right, but as it gets closer, I literally just turn into like a quivering mess, but with excitement.
Yeah.
And I love it. I really do love it. I mean, as I said, it's the reason I got into racing.
Yeah.
And this is the 20th Grand National I can remember. And bearing in mind, I'm 25 this year. It's a long way back.
It is, yes.
So, Minnie Homer beating Just So in 1994 was the first National I remember watching. I vividly remember sitting on grandfather's lap.
I don't know if I can remember anything from when I was 5.
So,
But yeah, it's such a great race, great history, and look forward to that on Saturday.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
But before we get to Saturday, Stephen,
Friday's good as well.
We should look at Friday because a good card there. You've picked out three races on day two of the Grand National Festival. And the first of them is the 2:30. And this is the Mildmay Novices Chase, which is a grade one over 3 miles and one furlong. And whilst there's only six of them in the lineup, you could give a state of case for at least half the field. A good renewal this with O'Farland's Boy and Wonderful Charm and Holy Well in there. And Don Cossack, you couldn't really write him off either. And it's a good race.
A very good race indeed, Mark. Yeah, I mean, interestingly, you've got the RSA winner against the novice who won the big handicap chase of the week over the same trip. That is very interesting in Holy Well and O'Farland's Boy. Things about Holy Well that concern me. I think O'Farland Boys is a better jumper. I know Hollywell actually jumped all right at Cheltenham, but he still doesn't jump like a natural for me, I think, over fences. And also, I'd probably fancy Hollywell slightly more if Richie McLernan was riding him, to be honest. And that's nothing against AP, but Richie's got a very good record on him. And, I mean, obviously, when you've got the champion jockey riding for the stable as well, it's natural that he's going to ride when he can, but yeah, that slightly concern me, because before Cheltenham his jumping was atrocious. Places like Catrick and Donny, he just didn't. I mean, when he won, if you take out that rate, the Cheltenham win, and look at the rest of his form, he can't possibly win this. And I know that obviously Cheltenham win is a game changer, but this is different. Grade one, smaller field. I don't think they'll go a flat out gallop.
Do you think that's the thing with him? He needs a bit of a stronger pace to jump better, and when they're crawling, he's smaller fields.
His two best performances in his career have been in 24 runner races and handicaps. So, although in fairness to him, after he won the Potemps final last year, he came and was placed in the Grade One hurdle on this card behind Solwit. But I just prefer one or two of the others, basically. I don't prefer, if that makes sense, Wonderful Charm.
Right.
A, I don't think he really wants to step up in trip. And B, although I think that the JLT was a good race at Cheltenham, he was disappointing in fifth when he was joint favourite. Bearing in mind that one of the other market leaders had fallen, there's a 33-1 shot in second. He was disappointing, Wonderful Charm. And he was impressive in his early season novice chases. I'm not sure he's still improving anymore. So I'll be happy enough to rule him out, and Just a Par as well, for that matter. He was well beaten by O'Farland's Boy at Cheltenham. Don Cossack, now you see, he is a horse that I like, and he's warmed up really well this season. He was unlucky to fall at Cheltenham, and I don't think a good run is beyond him. He's solid, and I have no negatives about Don Cossack at all. And then we get to O'Farland's Boy, and we get to Many Clouds. Now, Many Clouds was brought down in the RSA.
Yeah.
Now, O'Farland's Boy won the Reynolds Town, beating Many Clouds. And in that race, Many Clouds got sort of hooked up in a speed duel with Gevrey Chambertin, who faded out of it. Those two basically cut each other's throats. O'Farland's Boy swept on, but then Many Clouds was running on again at the end, and was closing the gap on O'Farland's Boy. And it was too far out, really, to tell what happened last time. But have we priced this race up yet?
No, I was looking on the site and
because
not quite.
I've got the tissue in front of me says O'Farland's Boy 15-8, Many Clouds 12-1. And based on the Ascot form, that's farcical, really. Mm. Because
I'm not sure that will be the case.
No, it won't be the case. But, you know, if there's a
sizable difference.
If there's a sizable difference, yeah. If there's a big gap between them in the betting, basically because of Cheltenham. And again, it's sort of Cheltenham's distorting the betting, I think, a little bit. If they are, basically at the moment, they're 10 points apart. If they're probably 6 or more points apart in the betting, that's ridiculous, I think, to be honest. And I like Many Clouds anyway. He's a good jumper. He stays well. And if there is such a disparity between the prices, I'll be tempted to back him. And I think he could win. Because obviously he wouldn't have had as hard a race as O'Farland's Boy at Cheltenham, or Hollywell, or Just a Par, or Wonderful Charm, because he only got halfway. I just thought that was bizarre, basically, to be honest. In all honesty, I don't know who the best horse in the race is. I'm not sure who the best horse in the race will turn out to be. But I think tomorrow, in terms of Friday, in terms of prices, then I like Minnie. I might give him another chance, Minnie Clouds. Based on that run at Ascot with O'Phelan's ball, I think he's going to... Because I don't think there's a lot between them. So when there is a lot between them, I don't think there's a lot between them in form. So if there is in prices, it's worth getting involved.
Okay. Minnie Clouds then as a prize play. You could also do the betting without the favourite if you want to take O'Phelan's boy out of it.
Yeah.
You price that up on the site as well.
Exactly. Because if O'Phelan's boy confirms the form from Ascot and he beats Minnie Clouds, then you...
Yeah,
quids in
but
on
it could still, yeah, exactly. Right, let's move on. The 305 is the Melling Chase, and this is a grade one over 2.5 miles, and 11 of them in the lineup here. And which ones have caught your eye in this, Stephen?
Well, when you compare this race to last year's renewal, this is a ropey old grade one, to be honest.
No sprint at Sacra this year.
Well, Finsatter beating Q Card, and another good horse who was third. I can't think who it was, but it was a great race last year anyway. There's only one grade one winner.
Flemingstar was third.
Flemingstar, there we go. There's only one grade one winner.
Rainbow in fourth.
Well, there you go.
He's at that point was...
Grade. So that compare that to this year where you've got one grade one winner in the field and that grade one win came in a novice chase. It doesn't compare, really.
No.
However, because there's no standout horse, you've got a decent-sized field and it's quite a competitive race, I would not back Ballynagore with someone else's money.
Right.
In fact, even if they, I wouldn't back him at all. I'd just donate it to charity or something because you look at his form and we know his two biggest wins have been off the back of a layoff and having had a layoff and bolted up at Cheltenham. He did bolt up. Coming back here 22 days later. No, thanks.
Yeah.
Just no. Day's Hotel and French Opera aren't good enough. Neither's Rathlin. Neither's Rolling Aces, really. Neither's Pepe Rose. Wishful Thinking, I think, is good enough if he decides to try his best, which he doesn't always tend to do.
He'd be more suited by entry, though, wouldn't he?
Much more suited by entry. I mean, his fifth in the Champion Chase wasn't actually a bad run. He wasn't beaten far. And his win off top weight at Cheltenham before that, when he beat Debel Ross, has obviously turned out to be good form, with Debel Ross being placed, of course, at Cheltenham since then. And he's actually a favourite for the Topham, which is later on Friday's card as well. And I think, and he's second before that was also a good run, in fairness to Wishful Thinking. He was second to Debel Ross, and he won at Newbury, I think, actually. So I do actually think he could run well. I think he'll run well, Wishful Thinking, possibly without winning. The other ones that I like, I think Tona Duderi will run okay for Gordon Elliott and David Russell. Been running well in Ireland in graded races. I mean, he was beaten by Day's Hotel over 2 miles at Nace, but I don't think the trip suited him. I think he'll be better on the better ground, and I think he'll reverse form with Day's Hotel. Rajdhani Express, I think he's still improving. He's only seven. Good novice horse last year. Fifth in the Paddy Power Gold Cup. Third in the Ryanair. And you think he was third in the Ryanair, two places behind Dynast. Well, Dynast is, you know, strongly fancied for the first big race almost of the meeting. And yet Rajdhani Express is, you know, not even held in remotely the same regard at all, which I think is probably fair, but... In terms of form, it's very, very good form. And I think that he will be involved. And the other one I think will be involved is Boston Bob. Now, he's the one who I said he's the only grade one winner in the field.
Yeah.
Obviously, he ran over hurdles first month this season, then again when he got beat. Sixth in the Ryanair, well behind Rajdhani Express, but Ruby gave him far too much to do. I mean, he was miles behind. He was nearest at the finish when he was running on. So I think he got outpaced as well, I think, because he probably does stay further. So if Paul Tannen decides to ride him slightly more prominently, so he doesn't completely lose his position when they quicken, and he's due a big win. He's always promised that he'd win a big race, Boston Bob, and I think this could be the one, to be honest. And Module, again, is he quite good enough? Like, he's consistent and he runs well, and his third was all right, you know, behind Sider Grouge. It was a good run, but... I don't know if he's good enough, and he was lucky there just to pick up some cheap lengths off of fading size in Europe and Summersby late in the day at Cheltenham. But I think those four will be the first, you know, involve Boston Bob, Module, Rajdhani Express and Wishful Thinking. And if you really push me, I would side with Rajdhani Express.
Okay, Rajdhani Express. Then in
might do a combination tri-cast and chop Module out of it.
Fair enough.
Just put the other three in.
Fair enough. But if you had to be pressed, you go with Rajdhani Express in the Melling Chase. And onto the 4:15 entry next. This is the Sefton Novices Hurdle, which is a grade one over the extended 3 miles, and a great renewal of this. We've got plenty of runners in here coming in into the race in winning form, several of them with sequences, the likes of See You at Midnight and The Last Samurai and Tagrita and the unbeaten Capote, and then you've got others in there with pretty solid form as well. It's quite open, this, Stephen. What do you like here?
It is pretty open, actually, and this is always a good race. If you go back and sort of look through renewals of this race sort of 10, 15, 20 years ago, you'll end up finding horses who were subsequently very good horses. You know, the man on a one. A bit like the Albert Barlett does as well now, to be fair. Obviously, when you look at some of them and you look at the handicap marks, you think, well, they could have won, you know, they could probably win a handicap. The Last Samurai's only rated 1.31. So I'm surprised, you know, they must think highly of him to come here, The Last Samurai. And the same with Tistry off 1.32. In terms of ratings, See You at Midnight is by far and away the best horse in this race, apparently. His form's really, really solid. You really can't knock his form at all. We beat Mickey in a grade two at Haydock. He won at Musselburgh. He beat Regal Encore at Hexham over 2 miles, which probably would have been an inadequate trip. Ground is fine for him. Missed Cheltenham, so he's going to be fresh.
Yep.
He's a very solid favourite. I can't knock him at all, to be honest. And I think he will be there at the end. Racing Pulse is interesting for John Quinyard. Obviously really impressive and highly promising earlier on in the season. You can rule out his last run at Musselburgh when he was beaten by See You at Midnight, because he didn't come back from that race very well. Mm. He was ill. And he was still only beaten 9 lengths by him. So if he comes here fighting fit and ready to go, again, I think he will be close to See You at Midnight. Of the others, there's like one or two horses that are nice, one or two horses that I like, but nothing that really sort of gets me going. I mean, Kalala Key finished fourth behind Faheen, beating 6 lengths, which was not a bad run, running on well at the end for Richard Johnson. But, I mean, you look at his form and his profile. I mean, A, would he repeat that? And B, even if he did, would he still be good enough? I don't think The Last Samurai is probably going to be good enough, to be honest, either. The two mares are interesting down at the bottom, Tagrita and Tubira. Tubira faced a very difficult task last time, carrying top weight in a mares-only race. It was only 13 days ago as well. Whilst Tagrita's progressed well through novice company, won a mares-listed race over 2.5 miles and probably will improve for the step up. And on the subject of Port Nichols, I think both of his horses will run well, actually. I think Port Mellon will run well. He's third behind Creepy. At the time, they thought was disappointing, but it's not turned out too badly. Mm. And obviously, he would have run in the Albert Barlett if he hadn't have ran off through the rails and dumped Daryl Jacob as he did. I think they'll both run well, actually, to be honest. But I do think See You at Midnight is the most likely winner.
Okay.
It's not very original. I think See You at Midnight is the most likely winner. What I'd probably do, if I was going to have a bet, I'd probably back Racing Pulse and Port Mellon against the favourite.
Yeah, a couple of each way bets.
Yeah.
All right.
So, but base Racing Pulse, base A, he was very promising, very exciting, and he wasn't that far when he had a virus and was not well at Musselburgh.
Yeah.
Still wasn't that far behind See You at Midnight.
And was very well backed as well. So
yeah, exactly.
Obviously expected more, and if he was unwell, and more of his running today would seem to go closer.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's the logic anyway.
Okay. Well, let's have a summary then, Stephen, of your thoughts. A tricky day on Friday, but it should be very good racing to look forward to at Aintree. What are you going for?
Outstanding racing, Mark. In the 2.30 at Aintree, I do think O'Phelan's boy will run a very good race, but Many Clouds can't be far away from him and might turn around the form from Ascot if the races run to suit him better. In the Melling Chase, I will go with Rajdhani Express. I think there's only two or three that can win the race. Ballynagore's not one of them. And in the Sefton Novices Hurdle at 4.15, I think See You at Midnight's very solid in front at the top of the market. But based on his form with Racing Pulse at Musselburgh, if Racing Pulse is A1, then he might be able to get closer to him.
Okay, good stuff. Should be exciting. Thank you very much, Stephen. Enjoy it on Friday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
So there you go. The thoughts of Stephen Powell on Friday's racing at Aintree, day two of the Grand National Festival. You'll hear the action on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Ross Briley, Craig Forsyth and Gary Capewell in the studio. Alongside that, we have Jumping from Sedgefield and Flat Racing from Leicester. And there's also Wolverhampton and Dundalk in the evening. So plenty of racing to look forward to. Tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.